That's like the woman out in Silver City, New Mexico that had 2,823 demons in her. It took us 7.5 hours to deliver that woman. Dave was there, Cheryl was there, and I was there. And we were with that woman for 7.5 hours. We finally got down. I looked at that clock, and I have 4 demons now out of 2,823. They've all gone out but 4. And them last 4 are stubborn, rebellious beasts. And I can't get them out. I look over the clock on the wall, and I said, Lord, I got 1 hour. I got to be in that church priest tonight. I said, I only got 1 hour. I said, Lord, when is this going to be over? And he said something to me that I will never forget. He said, son, I am a faith God. And when you believe it's over, that's when it's going to be over. In other words, he give you and me that power. He's already told us. Just like he said, behold, I give unto you all power over the enemy. I've given you my part. I've done it. Now then, you're going to have to make it work. You've got to do it in total faith. Man, when he told me that, it's going to be over when you believe it's over. Man, I shook that woman one more time. I said, you last 4 demons of hell. I said, this is it. This is the last time. You coming out of her and you going to the abyss and you ain't never coming back. I said, come out in Jesus' name. And I pushed myself up off of her and stood up. Cheryl was sitting right there by her side and Dave was holding her feet. I said, woman, you're delivered. Get up. And she turned and looked at Cheryl and said, who are you? This woman didn't remember anything that happened in the last 7.5 hours. She looked down. Dave, said, sir, what are you holding my feet down for? I said, get up. I reached up and got her by the hand, lift her up. That woman was completely delivered. How much power and authority did the king tell me and you we have over them beasts?
We got all power.
That's what he said. I think it's time we start believing him, don't you? When that demon comes back at us, I mean the first demons I tried to cast out of that little girl, when I commanded him to come out, the very first thing happened was her tongue rolled out of her mouth upside down, rolled back in, both eyes crossed, and then she spoke clear, we are not coming out. So see, they're trying to intimidate me. I started, you know, they want me to say, oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. And, you know, no. I said, oh yeah, you coming out, you devils of hell, in the name of Jesus. And they would not come out. I said, then what legal authority do you have to be in there? I said, you know you have to obey me. He said, this, I wouldn't even begin to repeat the nasty words that come out of that girl's mouth. But this blankety, blankety, blank woman allowed us in 24 years ago when she joined the Rainbow Girls. I said, oh. I said, okay. I said, then that's no problem. Now that I know the sin, I will call her back up. I'll have her repent of that sin, and then I will cast you out. He said, we are so interwoven into her brain, you will never be able to get her to repent of that sin. I said, then in that case, I'll use John 20:23. I will remit her sins, and then I will cast you out. And that little woman come across the table and spit all over me and said, nobody, almost nobody knows that verse. And those that have know it, they don't believe it. I said, well, you're looking at a man that knows it and believes it. And so I remitted her sins, started kicking them out, and them devils just went to flying everywhere, every direction. And man, she went to flying, her body goes throwing all over the floor, and we saw some awesome things in those 7.5 hours. We saw that little woman's body, I mean, just shoot out of a chair, horizontal off the floor, about 3 feet, halfway across that restaurant, hit the floor sliding, and I run over and jumped on top of her and screamed, come out of her in the name of Jesus. And that guy that was sitting there in the chair, he looked up at me and said, sir, I'm a paramedic. Can I help you? I said, you ever cast a demon out of anybody? He said, no. I said, then I don't think you can help me. It was such fun that day. I had so much fun today. I can't believe it. I mean, serving God is such fun. Oh, yeah, the Rainbow Girls is an offshoot of the Masonic Lodge. Just in case you don't know, the Eastern Star is the women's organization, but it all comes from the Luciferian organization, the Masonic Lodge. So if you've ever been a Mason, cancel that thing, throw that thing away. Do not have nothing to do with the Masonic Lodge. If you've ever been a Rainbow Girl or an Eastern Star, repent and tell God how sorry you are and break the curse over yourself. Because it'll bring all kinds of sickness and disease into your body and into the lives of your children. Even an early death into the lives of you and your children. I've known many Masons that died at 40 or 50 years of age. I've known many Masons' daughters and sons that have died early in their 20s and 30s because of daddy's sin of being a Mason. And they don't have a clue. And it makes them sick, and they're sick. All kinds of problems. So it's amazing. But Luke 10:19-20, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, in this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. See, Jesus is saying, I've given you the power. Is that what he said?
Yes.
Over these spirits. You know, I've given you the power. But, oh, Lord, thank you for giving me power over the spirits. He said, no, you don't have to thank me. That's just something that goes along with you being my son. He said, what you really need to thank me for is your name's written in heaven. When I die, Lord, I'm going to get to go to heaven. Yeah. You walk with me and obey me. Yeah, you really need to praise me that your name's written in heaven. Well, boy, if your name ain't written in heaven, you better make sure it gets there pretty quick. Is that right? You do not want to be a person that if what I think is going to happen to this world and to this United States of America, and it could start happening. In fact, I believe it's already started. Now then, let's go here. I want to go to some places here in Matthew. I want to look at Matthew 8:1. After we went to Galatians 3, you got to make sure you know how to break the curse over yourself and that you can claim that Galatians 3:13-14. Because if you have never claimed that redemption from the curse, if you never have, you're probably still under some curses. So you need to make sure that every sin of you and your parents has been repented of. Tell the Lord, Lord, I repent for all of the sins of my parents, my mom, my dad, my grandmother, my grandfather, everybody all the way back to Adam and Eve. Cover it all. And then, Father, I thank you that Jesus redeemed me from the curse of the law. So now I'm not under no curses. I am free of all curses that put sickness and disease upon me and bring poverty into my life. I am free of all those curses, and I command every demon of curse to leave me. Now, if you're a woman and you got a husband, he needs to do this for you. You do not do it for yourself. If you're a married woman, you are supposed to submit to your husband in how many things? All things. So your husband is the one that's supposed to pray for you. Somebody said, well, what if I don't have a very spiritual husband? Then you better find you a very spiritual pastor, because your pastor can pray that prayer of faith for you. And that's the trouble with so many women today. They're married to a man that's not spiritual. He goes to church once in a while, but he knows nothing about God's Word. Well, he couldn't break the curses over you. He couldn't walk by faith if he wanted to. He's not been in the Word enough. So you better find yourself a good, faithful man of God that's a pastor in a church somewhere that knows who he is, knows the Word of God, and knows that he can cast out demons and heal the sick. And when he does, then you can get things done. It really needs to be a pastor. Otherwise, it needs to be your husband. You know, I would recommend that if you don't have a husband that can do this, you need to really be praying for your husband. You need to be going to the throne of grace, calling upon your Father in the name of Jesus to change your husband, because you can't change your husband. How many of you girls know you can't change your husband? He's impossible. Only God can change your husband. Okay, now let's see some of these wonderful things that we've got here in Matthew 8. Let's go hit a few things in Matthew 8. We'll go to Matthew 8:1-4. We'll talk about this leper. It says, large crowd followed Jesus as he came down the mountainside. Suddenly, a man with leprosy approached Jesus. He knelt down before him, worshiping. Now, that's a great statement. If you want something from God, what is the first thing you need to do? Worship him. Have no problem bending your knee in front of him and say, Lord, I worship you. Have no problem with that. I mean, just like the other day, I was over in Home Depot, again, buying some stuff. And there was a lady walked up and she said, Thurman, I want you to pray for my brother. I said, what's his name? She told me. I said, what's wrong with him? She told me. And I just immediately laid one hand on her shoulder and held the other hand. I said, Father, in the name of Jesus. And I went through the throne of grace, did everything. And after I got through praying, I let my hand down, opened my eyes, and she was white as a sheet. I said, what's wrong with you? She said, my gosh, I didn't know you were going to do it right here in Home Depot. I said, what difference does it make where we are? Are you ashamed of the king? But see, we are. We are. And we wonder why we don't get anything from him. Well, I thought maybe you could have waited till you got home. I said, no, you asked me to pray. I'm going to pray right now. Just like this man, he worshiped the Lord. The man said, if you want to, you can make me well. See, he knew a little bit. But the first thing the man did right when he approached the king was what? He worshiped him. And you want to get something from God? If you're not willing to humble yourself and worship him, chances are you're not going to get much. But you have to humble yourself and worship the King. He is worthy to be praised. He said, if you want to, you can make me well again. Let's see what the 3 and 4 says. Jesus touched him. Now, wait a minute. This guy's got leprosy. And far as they know, it's contagious. How dare you reach out and touch him with leprosy? Should I have any problem touching a man with leprosy? No, that's right, brother. I'm not susceptible to that. It can't touch me. It's a demonic spirit. It cannot touch me. He says, Jesus touched him, and he said, I want to. Now then, if you need a healing today, if you're willing to worship the King and reach out to him in faith, does he want to heal you? Yeah, you think he's any different than that man? No, not any. He wants to heal you. He said, be healed. That's all he said was, be healed. And it says, and instantly, the leprosy disappeared. Then Jesus said to him, go right over to the priest and let him examine you. Don't talk to anyone along the way. Take along the offering required in the law of Moses for those who have been healed of leprosy, so everyone will have proof of your healing. And so, you know, there's some people that come to church that never give God an offering. You know, some people come to a healing school hoping to get healed and never, don't even put nothing in the offering plate when it's passed. Now somebody said, but that's, I'm giving that to you. No, you don't give nothing to me. Everything that comes in, that's used for the glory of God. And that's not mine. We use it for the glory of God. Amen. Somebody said, well, I don't want to buy my healing. You can't buy your healing. But I guarantee, if you don't ever give God nothing, chances of you getting healed are going to be very, very minimum. Do you think God knows exactly what everybody gave a while ago? That's just like when Ananias and Sapphira, when they sold her a piece of land. You know, when they said, he said, Ananias and Sapphira, they said, let's sell our piece of land, and let's just, I don't know what they got for it. I'm going to say 30 pieces of silver. Let's go down and tell the church we got 30 pieces of silver for it. We want to give it all to the Lord. We really got 50, but we ain't going to tell them that. Who do you think was with them? The Lord. So Ananias comes in and said, oh, Peter, Sapphira, now we sold our piece of land. We got 30 pieces of silver. We want to give it all to the Lord. Peter said, why did you lie to the Holy Spirit? Now, isn't that something that he knew standing right there? Who do you think told him? The Lord. Absolutely. That's right. The Lord.
We are going to stop for today, but we will return on our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast in its entirety, entitled, God Will Command the Blessings to Overtake You, or you would like to have any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.